910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. With many Democrats still in full-blown panic mode over President Biden's debate performance, he's taking steps to tamp down that fear.
President Biden will speak with ABC's George Stephanopoulos for his first television interview since Thursday's debate. The Biden campaign has faced calls for the president to do more interviews in recent days following that disappointing debate performance. Stephanopoulos will speak exclusively with Biden on the campaign trail Friday.
ABC's Molly Nagel, a portion will run during World News Tonight Friday, with the extended version running Sunday on This Week. Across the Southeast Caribbean, at least six deaths are blamed on Hurricane Beryl, blowing at 145 miles an hour. Beryl is a Category 4 storm. It's taking direct aim at Jamaica, where there is a daylight curfew in effect. The Food and Drug Administration approved Kisunla, an injectable medication aimed at slowing cognitive and functional decline in the early stages of Alzheimer's. This is ABC News. The Biden administration proposing a new rule aimed at protecting outdoor workers from extreme heat as the climate evolves.
The Department of Labor is proposing a new rule that, when finalized, will establish the nation's first ever federal safety standard for excessive heat in the workplace.
Under the rule, when the temperature humidity index, also known as the heat index, hits a certain point, it would require employers to provide access to drinking water and cooling breaks. They won't comply easily.
We do expect that this proposal will face legal challenges. A lot of these federal rules get tied up in the courts, but administration officials say that they're confident that this one, when it comes to extreme heat for Americans, will be upheld.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. From the Where Are They Now file, former Cleveland cop Timothy Lohman, who fatally shot 12-year-old Tamir Rice in 2014, resigned from the White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia police. Third time in 6 years he's left a small police force amid backlash over his hiring. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
What are you doing up? Shouldn't you be in bed? Of course you're not. You're too busy worrying about your business. Inventory, employees, labor shortages. How can you even begin to think about customers? That's where WBZH, The Buzz, and Civic Media come in. Radio advertising remains one of the most effective ways to reach an audience. And with the free Civic Media app, even the cell phone crowd listens all the time now. Did I mention Civic Media has gone digital too? We're not talking about your daily Facebook posts. Call WBZH The Buzz today at 715-762-3221 and ask us how we could get your ads on a gas pump, YouTube video, or the top of a Google search. Or maybe we cut out the middleman and you call me at 715-497-3602. Now that we've sorted that out, you can rest easy. Go to bed.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The new chancellor at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse is on the job. James Beebe started work Monday. He replaces Joe Gao, who was fired last December for making online pornography with his wife. Gao is still fighting to keep his tenured professorship at UWL. The Biden administration wants to increase tariffs on $18 billion worth of imports from China. Arthur Stamoulis is with the Trade Justice Education Fund. He says the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act have been good for American manufacturing.
There were more new factories built in the U.S. in 2023 than at any point in the last three decades. And these tariffs are going to help protect that investment.
Stamoulis says the tariff plan would safeguard good-paying American jobs from unfair competition. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A comeback win for the Brewers. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Rockies led most of the way. It was 3-2 at the top of the ninth inning. But then, walks from Bryce Terang and Christian Yelich. Rhys Hoskins gets beaned. The winning run scores forced in. And the Brewers held on to win 4-3 in Denver. Yelich on Milwaukee's offense, finding ways to win.
Everybody's getting honest about not doing anything with the bases loaded. And then So you can't really explain either one, right? It's just you play out the baseball season and see what happens. I think that our offense is pretty dynamic. Like you have a lot of athleticism throughout it, and speed. Guys that are really fast. Guys that can hit for power. Guys that have really good hit tool, and you just keep grinding throughout the game, putting pressure on the other team. And it could happen at any point in the game. It happens quick. It takes a few pitches, and then, there's a crooked number on the board.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover sprinkle or shower ending, skies turning partly cloudy in the overnight. We'll have light winds and upper 50s to start your Wednesday. During the afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies. West winds a bit breezy, highs near 80 degrees. It's 60 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, tune in tomorrow. It's Pat Kreitlow's birthday. He'll be here to celebrate along with Trigvi Olsen of the Lincoln Project, and we'll take a look at signers on the Declaration of Independence. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our rainy studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Wisconsin's fall primary coming up. Yes, we're going back to vote again. August 13th. It's right around the corner. Make a plan to vote in every election. It is more critical now than ever. I know it seems boring. I know we feel like we never stop voting. And essentially we don't because we're in Wisconsin. But it is really, really important to get out and vote in the primary in August. And that's also because of two constitutional amendments that are going to be placed on the ballot that I don't think a lot of people are familiar with, and that's why our next guest is joining us. She is with the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deborah Cronmiller. Thank you so much for coming back to the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about these two amendments that will be on the ballot, and I'm just going to read them out loud because we've talked about this before, Deborah, about how they are intentionally written to be murky, I think, and to confuse people. So question one is delegation of appropriation power. Shall Section 35(1) of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how money shall be appropriated? That's question one. Question two, allocation of federal monies. Shall Section 35(2) of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to prohibit the governor from allocating any federal monies the governor accepts on behalf of the state without the approval of the legislature by joint resolution or as provided by legislative rule? So, Deborah, breaking this down to its simplest form, essentially this is just taking more power of the purse away from the governor and giving it to the legislature. Is that accurate?
In a nutshell, that's extremely accurate. I think this legislature, as we all know, was seated under a very extreme gerrymander. They've benefited as a result and have held on to power for a decade and a half because they really were not going to ever be in a contested race due to the gerrymander. And that power has enabled them essentially to bring forward through two consecutive sessions these amendments that are now going to go to the people. The amendments, as you said, are poorly worded. They are vague, just as the amendments that we passed in April were vague. I think that the reason that we want to vote no on these is, there are many, but, in general, we have, kind of that three-legged stool of government. And, we have a political executive office, we have a political legislative office, and we have a independent judiciary. And if you unbalance the stool, you're going to topple over. And, for the league, a good government organization for 104 years, I'm not interested in seeing our democracy in Wisconsin topple over. So I really do think the no vote is the way to go if we want to ensure that our executive branch, our legislative branch, and our judiciary work as intended in our Constitution.
The first half hour of our show, Deborah, we were talking about the fact that the legislature is really good at doing nothing and accomplishing nothing. And they're sitting on monies to address PFAS. They're sitting on money to address the healthcare crisis in the Chippewa Valley. And this will essentially just give them more money to sit on and do nothing with.
Unfortunately, that could be the very real ramification of this. And there are other things that the governor's office does. You know, we just heard yesterday that the governor's office approached FEMA to ask for emergency relief funds for all those tornadoes that had gone through in southern Wisconsin. And, that's under the authority right now of the governor's office. He requests those funds. FEMA then can set up that portal so individuals who were impacted by a disaster can go into the federal portal, indicate what happened to their particular property, and be awarded funds directly then from the federal government. Under this piece of, constitutional amendment.
Right.
Yeah. It's just unclear to me if the legislature would have been able, because they're out of session right now, would they have been able in such a short amount of time, those tornadoes and, some of the flooding that incurred, that was just less than a week ago. Would that legislature have been able to reconvene, get everybody back into Madison, talk about the issue, make the call out to FEMA? It's just so unknown to me as to whether or not the legislature could do this. We also know that the last big set of emergency funds that came to the state were the COVID funds.
Right.
And our legislature, for 300 days, failed to convene. We were one of the worst legislative bodies in the whole nation during that very real public health crisis. And, thank goodness we had a governor who is charged with working, 24/7, 365, and he was able to really start mobilizing those dollars, getting them to DHS, getting them into communities, making sure vaccines were going into the arms of people who needed them. And it is, again, it's just an unknown to me in this new, very poorly drafted constitutional amendment. What are the requirements? Is the legislature going to hold itself accountable to be that timely? Or not? There's no mention of that. So it's a very real concern that I think all citizens in Wisconsin should have. And I think it doesn't belong in the Constitution. If we want to change processes, not all states have the governor call for emergency funds. Some states have a dual action between the governor and the legislature. Some states do give that authority to the legislature. That could be done in our statutes. It could be made incredibly clear. So every person in our legislature voting on that statute change would know exactly what they were getting into. This is not doing that. This is creating confusion, the same confusion that was created, by the way, in April. We've just received clarification from Attorney General Call's office on what those amendments actually said. And basically what the Attorney General has said is those amendments really didn't add any more clarification to what is election administration or what is an election task than what already exists in our statutes. So let's use our statutes in the way we always have. The laws in the state of Wisconsin should guide agency behavior. And, putting things in the Constitution that are really about policy, that's like a step too far as I'm concerned.
Deborah, you kind of you stole my thunder there, because that's where I was going to take. No, it's fine. I'm glad you're talking about this. Please. We love having you on here. We love having you explain these issues for us. And I wanted to take a step back to the spring election when we had you on before talking about the other constitutional. Well, these, and if I'm not mistaken, these aren't constitutional amendments. They are rewording of already existing language just to sort of zhuzh it, if you will, in the favor of joint finance and the Republicans who control the Assembly and the Senate. But you basically said then, you know, if you can't get it done through legislation, don't put it on the Constitution. And you said something else, that the amount of material that's on our state constitution is vast, because there's so many things that repeal previous language, because this is something that they continue to do. Can't get it done in the legislation?
Right.
All right, we're going to put it on the Constitution.
We'll go around.
Give it murky language. So good luck, everybody.
Yeah. And I do think this is a workaround. This is a governor who basically said, no, this is not good legislation. It could have gone through legislative process to have his veto overridden, but the legislature didn't take that, you know, kind of procedurally normal response, and instead is taking it to the people with the vague language, language that I think if when a person who's not as wonky as we all are in this room right now, you know, they may look at it as, on his face, and not see the potential harm, because they don't understand how we get emergency funds delivered to communities that have experienced disasters. Maybe they don't understand how emergency public funding, you know, is being distributed for the greater good of the citizens in Wisconsin. And those, you know, no harm, no foul on citizens. They don't have to be knowledgeable about every single statute. There are pages and pages. But the reality is, that's why we should be holding our legislature accountable to be making good decisions on behalf of the voters. And this is not a good decision, in our humble opinion. This is misleading and too vague. And it really creates more questions than it creates answers or good government, frankly.
Deborah Cronmiller is our guest. She is with the League of Women Voters Wisconsin, and we're talking about two constitutional amendments that will be on the August primary ballot. I personally would vote no. I will be voting no against both of these. And as you said, Deborah, they're trying to couch this as being good for constituents, but really this is only good for them.
It gives them an undue amount of power, more than what the Constitution had originally bestowed to them. And the legislature, as we all know, they already have a say in spending in Wisconsin. They create with the governor a shared revenue bill every other year. That bill is the guiding financial document. And that's probably more the place for, you know, nuance about spending and that sort of thing. But that's where they have their influence. And right now, I think they're trying to grab more influence.
Deborah, can you stay for one more segment?
I sure can.
Wonderful. Deborah Cronmiller is here from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says, Jane
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick hack for setting and reaching a money goal. Try the SMART system for organizing your approach. S is for specific. What exactly is the goal? I want to save a down payment to buy my first house. M is for measurable. How will you know when you're done? I want to save $50,000. A is for achievable. Well, I'm going to have to cut spending in a few places, but I can save $1,000 a month. R is for relevant. Raising my kid in a home that we own is important for me and for her. I want her to grow up in the same place if we can afford it. And T is time. How long is it going to take? I think I can do this in about 4 years. Thinking through each of those letters is a great way to set yourself up for success when you're making money plans. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And if she tempts you with a charm, tell her no.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. We are coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, joined by Deborah Cronmiller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And we have been talking about the two constitutional amendments that will be showing up on the August primary ballot. And I wanted to share a text that we got in from Ann from Chippewa Falls. No one understands these two questions on the ballot. It is so badly worded. Too many words. Yes.
And that leads me to a question, Deborah. Last time you were here in spring, you told us that your website, League of Women Voters Wisconsin, which we will be linking to the show today, has toolboxes, has sites that allow for people to understand what's in those languages. I assume that your website will have that as well for this upcoming election.
We do. On our navigation bar, we have a section called Toolkits and Resources. And this that particular toolkit that's addressing the these amendments is the August 24 Vote No toolkit. Yeah. So
it's important to check it out. It's really important that everybody votes.
Yeah,
I know primaries aren't sexy. I know it's going to be in the middle of the summer. It's August 13th. It's a pain in the neck, and we've talked about this frequently. Yes, presidential elections are vastly important. But if you are really concerned about things that have a direct impact on you, that's why we need to vote in these more local races in Wisconsin-centric and focus on Wisconsin-centric issues, right? Because we feel that so much more immediately than what happens on the federal level.
Right. And in Wisconsin, in August, there are some communities that have virtually no other question on their ballot than these two constitutional questions because there's no primary.
Oh, wow.
So they have one candidate from either party. They'll advance to the November ballot. But I've heard from people individually who have said, well, there's nothing on my ballot. I don't have a primary. It's like you have two very important constitutional questions to come out and vote for. So every Wisconsinite mm-hmm. is going to have a ballot to vote. And that ballot may include primary races and the constitutional questions, or it could just include the constitutional questions. But everyone needs to come and vote. And I'm 100% with you, Jane, that it is our right to vote, but it's also our responsibility.
Absolutely. And you can't then complain and say, how did this happen? And why is the why is the Joint Finance Committee sitting on more money that we need to help fix clean water? That's what we're talking about. We are talking about essentially giving more power of the purse over to the Republican-led legislature, who has a great track record of doing nothing. And when you mentioned, Deborah, that during the COVID outbreak, that they took a vacation for 300 days and did nothing, except when Robin Voss decided to do his performative hazmat outfit where they were giving out COVID vaccines. We never saw any of them.
Yeah.
So if these amendments had been in place at that time, the emergency money might not have gone out.
That's absolutely true. And that's our fear, you know, is that this legislature wouldn't act in as timely a manner as a single governor can, because you don't have to convene 132 people to make a decision if the decision-making authority is in the hands of the single person, the governor, who, by the way, we as voters can hold accountable. And it's much easier to hold a single person accountable if we don't like the decisions they're making than it is to hold 132 people accountable. And I think voters should understand that the money that's being distributed is the tax dollars that we have paid. This is our money, and holding it back to benefit the citizens of Wisconsin is not good government. It is not how we want our dollars to come back to us to serve the needs of Wisconsinites. It's really quite astonishing that, you know, this particular legislature adjourned without releasing the $125 million for PFAS and the cleanup of our water, that they didn't help the Western medical system that they could have. And there's other instances where monies are just being held up because there's red tape, you know, I don't know, bureaucratic red tape. And in the hands of the governor, none of that matters. You know, I think this particular governor and so many of the governors before him had a single vision for Wisconsin, which was to make Wisconsin as strong and economically viable as possible, and getting dollars, our tax dollars, into the hands of communities and people to thrive. That's their purpose. And playing the partisan shenanigans is not the purpose.
And I believe that these constitutional amendments are partisan shenanigans. They did this intentionally to put this, especially when you point out now that some communities will have nothing else on the ballot but these two constitutional amendments. So we got to count on you listeners talking to people and every of your friends, all of your friends, all of your relatives, and tell them they need to vote in the August 13th primary. I know it's not sexy. Do it anyway. There's lots of things we do that aren't sexy.
Jane, I find voting very sexy.
And
you're so right.
You can go to, listeners right now, you can go to the league's website, which will be in our show notes today, and you can read about these constitutional questions coming up in August. You can also go to myvote.wi.gov to check who represents you. Call them and tell them what's going on. Tell them what you're thinking. If their people are even answering, because right now our state leaders are on vacation. Yeah. But you can also find out your polling place. But most importantly, I think right now, especially with August coming up so quickly, are you registered? Are you still on the rolls? Have you moved? Go there. Find out if you're registered.
Get it in order.
You can register now, because that's the difference between going in and voting in, especially in August. It's taking a minute and a half to vote, to maybe 25, 30 minutes standing in line to register. And that can change people's minds. And they'll be like, ah, come on, I'm going home.
Yeah, I'm just not going to do this. Yeah, don't do that. Go to myvote.wi.gov. We're going to hammer this the entire year. Yeah. Myvote.wi.gov. And make sure you're registered to vote and see who your representatives are. And as always, we encourage you, if you do call, please be respectful.
Yes.
Would really, really appreciate that.
And my vote will also give you information about where your early voting sites are, if you choose to vote that way, where your polling place is, if you're going to go on election day, has information on how to request your absentee ballot, which you can still do right now. And so there's lots of different options for voting, and the My Vote actually can show you a sample ballot.
Yes.
So if you're wondering what's on my ballot, that will tell you. And then if you further are questioning, well, I don't know either of these two primary candidates, then you can go to Vote411 and get the information. And Vote411 is also available on the league's website.
We will get the link to the league in the show notes after today's show. Deborah Cronmiller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Deborah. I know we're going to have you back on, I hope.
Thank you. Anytime.
Have a great day. News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk about PFLAG Waukesha's participation in this year's 4th of July parade here in Waukesha. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She said that to me. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't take her love from us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. With many Democrats still in full-blown panic mode over President Biden's debate performance, he's taking steps to tamp down that fear.
President Biden will speak with ABC's George Stephanopoulos for his first television interview since Thursday's debate. The Biden campaign has faced calls for the president to do more interviews in recent days following that disappointing debate performance. Stephanopoulos will speak exclusively with Biden on the campaign trail Friday.
ABC's Molly Nagel. A portion will run during World News Tonight Friday, with the extended version running Sunday on This Week. Across the Southeast Caribbean, at least six deaths are blamed on Hurricane Beryl, blowing at 145 miles an hour. Beryl is a Category 4 storm. It's taking direct aim at Jamaica, where there is a daylight curfew in effect. The Food and Drug Administration approved Kisunla, an injectable medication aimed at slowing cognitive and functional decline in the early stages of Alzheimer's. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The teenager charged with beating an employee to death at Lincoln Hills Prison was supposed to be in a different facility, but Republican state lawmakers withheld funding that would have paid for the transfer. Governor Evers' office tells the Journal Sentinel Republicans have been thwarting youth prison reforms in Wisconsin for years. 15,000 delegates and other guests descend on Milwaukee in less than 2 weeks. Allison Prangy leads the RNC Post Committee. She tells WISN-TV's Up Front she hopes convention-goers leave with a lasting impression.
It's a great city for your family. It's a great place to work. And we're excited for people to get a chance to experience that.
But not everyone's busy. The Pabst Theater Group tells the Recombobulation Area website that RNC bookings have been disappointing and a failure. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kids films are saving the box office this summer. The latest family-friendly flick, Despicable Me 4, opens July 3rd and is expected to dethrone Inside Out 2. The fourth installment of the animated series is expected to pull in between $100 and $125 million over the five-day holiday weekend. The film stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Melissa Etheridge told People.com that David Crosby was really generous with his sperm. In addition to being a good friend to Etheridge, Crosby is the biological father to her kids. While promoting her new docuseries, Melissa Etheridge, I'm Not Broken, Etheridge says it was Crosby's wife who suggested her husband lend a hand. And he did. There is no word yet on whether the actual donation scene was reenacted for the docuseries, but if you give it a watch and see a man who looks like Crosby pour himself a glass of wine, dim the lights, and put on soft music while alone, turn the channel as quick as is humanly possible. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover sprinkle or shower ending, skies turning partly cloudy in the overnight. We'll have light winds and upper 50s to start your Wednesday. During the afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies. West winds a bit breezy, highs near 80 degrees. Currently 62 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday is my birthday, the big 6-0. What are we doing on the show? Whatever I feel like, because I'm old and I can do whatever I want.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He handles public relations for PFLAG Waukesha. Jacob Knuth joins us in studio. Good morning, Jacob. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I got your press release this year. PFLAG Waukesha will make history as one of the first LGBTQIA plus groups to take part in Waukesha's 4th of July parade.
Yes.
Was this a long time coming?
This resulted from a sleepless night our president had while she was recovering from surgery, I believe. And she was looking for something to do, and she found that she could apply to join the parade. And so she did, and then we learned that this is the first parade where an LGBTQ plus organization will be marching openly in Waukesha. We're also joined by LGBT Waukesha, who's joined the parade as well. So it's a little bit of a two for the price of one going on there.
I think this is wonderful. I was born and raised in Waukesha, and I know how Waukesha can be.
Yes.
So the fact that this is happening is, to quote a convicted felon, huge. Absolutely huge. This is awesome. I love it.
Now, I saw Julie Reese on Saturday when I was at the Waukesha Farmers Market, and she said they had all kinds of people signing up who plan to walk along and offer their support.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful. It must feel good to get that kind of support from the community. What kind of a reception are you expecting, Jacob?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I'm trying to keep my expectations low because we have had an outpouring of support, which is great. And from my own experience, I have found that most individual residents in Waukesha are okay about stuff like this. They don't have issues like this. It's usually people like who are in charge who kind of make it an issue, you know? So I expect the average person attending the parade should be fine about it. But I'm also paranoid as all sin. I almost swore there. I just remember I can't do that on radio.
We'd rather you didn't.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I'm also always paranoid about stuff like this going bad, but Waukesha parades are very safe now for clear reasons.
Right.
And we have had this outpouring of support. So I'm keeping my expectations like it should go well. I don't think it'll be a big deal. If we get like an outpouring of love, that would be great. As long as everyone gets to the end of the parade safely, that's a win in my book.
I gotta say from my point of view, going to many of parades, especially pride parades, seeing the PFLAG group is especially wonderful because you just see that outpouring of love and support from family, especially grandparents. There's not a better group of people to see than PFLAG grandparents because they have this attitude of, I love my grandkid. Don't you even try. And it's wonderful.
It is.
We had a call many, many months ago. Remember, Greg Buck? Mm-hmm. From a grandfather.
Yes.
Whose grandson came out, and he was so emotional on how he could never turn his back on him because he's family and he loves him.
Yeah.
He was very, very passionate about it.
Grandpa Bob, his yep. grandson transitioned.
Oh.
And we only had him on for a few minutes, but he told his entire story in those few minutes. And by the end of it, we were all in tears. And it's like, this is a man who's clearly telling us that this was hard for him, but he did the necessary work. And I imagine that Grandpa Bob, hopefully if he can, is going to be marching in a parade like
this.
Yeah,
we'd love to see you, Grandpa Bob.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one of the best calls we've ever received.
Yeah,
so.
It absolutely was. But Jacob, tell us what else PFLAG is involved in and what else PFLAG does.
So PFLAG is an organization where essentially every month we have some sort of event going on. We have four educational events a year. The rest of the year is usually devoted to support meetings or even our annual picnic, which is held in August. This month in July, we do have an educational meeting 1 week after the parade. It is on July 4th, and I'm going to read my notes here
so I make sure I get it right. Use your notes.
It's a panel on gender-affirming care. It's called Gender Affirming Care, What It Is and What It's Not. It is happening at the Waukesha Public Library from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday, July 11th. We are going to have three experienced therapists there talking about gender-affirming care, how to start gender-affirming care, the dangers of conversion therapy, and other topics along those lines. I am awful with names, so I am going to do my best to pronounce the names of these therapists, but if they are listening and I mispronounce them, please don't cancel on us. So that is Julie Reichert and Lynn Dusold from Pathways and Anna Kraft from Empowerment Within. They are all going to be at the panel. You can attend in person, but if you don't want to, you're also able to join in virtually. You just have to email us at info@pflagwaukesha.org in order to have us work that out and make sure you're able to join through Zoom or Skype or whatever works best for you.
Well, and I just think this is a wonderful opportunity for people who have misconceptions about how gender-affirming care works.
Absolutely.
9-year-old girls don't walk into the doctor's office and say, I want top surgery, let's do it now. That isn't how it works.
29-year-old girls don't get that, and sometimes I wish it was that easy for adults.
But it's not. It's a much longer process, and I think this is an opportunity for people to actually learn about the amount of counseling that people have, the amount of care that is taken as they go through this journey. It is not a snap decision that is made over the course of a month.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think, you know, when we talk about these types of things, especially gender-affirming care, I think we like to speak towards the people who are raising their fists and screaming the hardest. But I also want to, you know, I want to put that out there that these kinds of sessions, these types of services are out there for people who fully support this but need more information. Because I am 100,000% in favor of anyone being as happy as they can be. And if that means you have to make these necessary choices and these decisions and go forward, go for it. But I still need to be educated. So if you even see yourself as an ally or in the queer community not knowing, these are great places for you to go as well, because you're going to get that information, especially in a safe space where you don't have to worry about like feeling less than if you have to ask a question.
Absolutely. That's one of the things I love about PFLAG Waukesha is, especially for allies and families, there are going to be clumsy questions because you're trying to understand it. But there's this hesitation to ask clumsy questions to your loved one because you don't want to inadvertently say something that's going to hurt their feelings. You know, that's one of the things that's great about these PFLAG educational meetings is you can come and you can ask professionals. You can be clumsy. You can, as I say, speak in draft. You know,
yes,
you can ask kind of awkward, clumsy questions, and that's fine because you'll get an honest answer and it will express your genuine concern. And that means it can be dealt with, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's such an important element.
Yes,
it is. People have lots of questions and in many instances are afraid to ask for the reasons that you said. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to, you know, this makes me look bad if I ask this question. This is a forum where you can ask those questions.
Exactly. And if you will allow me a quick moment to give an example of that, I do use they, them pronouns. And earlier, I did notice you just simply used he, him real quick. But see, for those who can't see, she's kind of shaking her head and going like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I get it. I lived in Los Angeles for 4 years and I was in a non-binary support group and we all use they, them pronouns. But we're all trained as kids to look at someone and put them in one of two boxes, he, him, or she, her. And our mouths move faster than our brains. So we'll look at someone, and in that support group, we all got each other's pronouns wrong at least once for each person. And so someone like me who uses they, them, someone who is part of the non-binary community, will recognize someone just slipping up but trying as opposed to someone who doesn't even try. Most of my family is in the former category. They slip up sometimes, but they're trying, and I love that, and I'm not going to give them grief for slipping up because that those growing pains are important for getting used to it.
It's not intentional.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not intentional.
Exactly.
A friend of mine who is also non-binary, they said basically, if you slip up, you can apologize if you want, but just recognize it, make the change, move on. Don't make them the target of your guilt, because then it's about you and not about their journey and who they are. Most people are level-headed. If you make a mistake, you can simply say, I apologize, and then move on. Go from there.
Exactly. And especially for non-binary people who are struggling with pronouns, I know I'm really hesitant to correct anyone on it because I don't want them to feel bad. I don't want it to turn into I'm giving you grief about this. I'm turning it into a thing. You know, if we hadn't segued into this opportunity to kind of discuss the idea of lenience and a grace period with people who are learning, I wouldn't have brought up the pronouns in the beginning of the conversation because it's like, what am I going to do? Correct her on air? This is the first time I'm meeting her. I don't want to be a jerk. You know,
you weren't a jerk. but as you said, it was an unintentional slip. And
right.
And I think for not to give extra grace to people of a certain generation, of older generations, it's just it's a habit that
Absolutely.
Has been so long enforced that it's just...
It's hard to break.
It doesn't. You're not even aware that you're saying it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I consistently misgender my non-binary friends, and I immediately hear it. And I'm like, ugh! You make mistakes. We correct them. We move on. We do better.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
Absolutely.
Jacob Knuth is our guest, heading public relations for PFLAG Waukesha. And this year, for the first time ever, PFLAG Waukesha is going to be marching in the Waukesha 4th of July parade. It starts Thursday, 11 a.m. on Barstow Street at the Lee Sherman Dreyfus State Office Building, and then goes down Main Street, turns onto Maple Avenue, and ends at Wisconsin Avenue. PFLAG Waukesha, represented by chapter members, and they will have a banner, and they're hoping to see supporters in the crowd.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Are you throwing candy or anything?
I have a board meeting right after this that will probably be discussed, especially because, you know, if anything costs money, we have to talk about it beforehand.
It's got to be a board decision. Tom from LA on the line. We got about 2 minutes left, Tom. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Absolutely. First off, thank you, PFLAG. As the owner of gayandlesbianpages.com out here in Los Angeles, originally from Wisconsin, I just want to say that, you know, people don't realize how much the pronoun description means. You know, it even starts in the beginning. We call God a he. I think they, them, they're, I mean, those things are so good now, because even when a woman now is going for a job and her name is Jordan or her name is Danny or something like that, people aren't prejudging ahead of time. So I'm just saying, even out to our straight allies that are out there, think about how it is that it actually helps you. And asking someone what they really want to be called doesn't really affect you or hurt you or anything like that in any way. It actually is just something, that simple question. How would you like to be identified?
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much. And thank you, as always, for listening. Yeah, I don't disagree with him. I don't understand how that harms anyone else.
No. Well, it doesn't. That's the thing.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's the straight up answer. It doesn't.
Right.
You can make sure, if you are, we will put PFLAG's information in the show notes today, including information about the parade as well, so you can go see them, support them.
Yes, absolutely.
If there's candy, catch some candy.
Yes, that's my memory of the parade, because I grew up in Waukesha too. My memory is like going as a kid and just getting the candy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
you got to have a motivation.
Now I'm worried what will happen if we don't have candy. I'm going to push for candy at the board meeting.
I didn't mean to pressure
no,
you
it's
into
fine.
Candy.
They might be listening.
Jacob Knuth does PR for PFLAG Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great day. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet KLB on the board. You can join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We had a really busy show today. If you were not able to listen to the whole thing, we understand you have lives, you have things to do, you have children and grandparents and
what?
Friends. I know. So if you would like to go back and listen, our colleague here at Civic Media, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, joined us at 10:33 to talk about the decision yesterday from the Supreme Court, essentially giving any president, past, present, or future, pretty much immunity for anything. It's a really important discussion. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. And then Deborah Cronmiller was here from the League of Women Voters talking about these two constitutional amendments that are going to be on the August ballot. Vote no. And then we just had Jacob Knuth here from PFLAG Wisconsin talking about their participation this year in the Waukesha 4th of July parade, which is great.
It really shows like the wide swath of what we're talking about, too. Like, you know, all these issues, all these things, all having to do with Wisconsin, all in whether, I mean, some of it affects all U.S. citizens, some affects Wisconsin. I just, you know, yeah, please take a listen. Download the show as a podcast. Subscribe to it. And give us a 5-star rating if you think we're doing a good job. If not, if you think we're doing anything less than a 5-star rating, please direct all questions, concerns, and comments to the following email. It is calbcalvinator@angelfire.com/ellipsis/basementemail.gov.
And it'll go right to him.
Yep.
Immediately. It'll go right to him.
Yep.
Also, we have baseball tonight. Brewers at the Rockies, 7:05 if you want to catch the game, and you do have to listen on terrestrial radio. Let's get terrestrial, baby.
Yeah.
You can listen on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center. That's 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Or catch the Brewers at the Rockies tonight, 7:05 on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 98.3 FM and 1100 AM. We have Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Good morning, Mark. What's going on?
Oh, so much evil to confront and so little time to do it.
I know.
It is just after the whole Supreme Court thing, it is just complete ignoring of what we thought was settled law in this country. I mean, I posted a comment today about it. It turns into a comment Bumble made in the novel, Dickens' novel, Oliver Twist. It makes if we assume that, it makes the law an ass. I mean, because they're assuming that the president is immune to all this stuff. So that's just asinine as far as I'm concerned. For the previous, one of the topics today on the show is the constitutional amendments on the ballot. One of my beefs of it is not only that they have it on the primary ballot, which is ridiculous because they know that's going to be fewer people out there voting on it, so it gives a better chance of them getting this nonsense through, that it is not in the language it would appear in the Constitution. I would think that would nullify anything that we do, because if they can write it however they want, you know, after we say, well, that's okay, but they'll come up with something, well, that's hogwash. I mean, if you're telling us we can vote on constitutional issues, then the language should be as such as it will appear in the Constitution. I mean, it is just beyond me that why they can't figure out a way to do that, because that's the way it should be appearing. Is if it's going to be in the Constitution, be our law, it should appear as what we are going to see in our Constitution, because everybody should be able to pull up the Constitution and read it and see exactly what it says.
Well, and Mark, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Essentially, they can't get it. They can't get these things done in what would be the typical legislative process because it's not popular. And if they had to explain it, if they really had to explain it to voters, people would say, yeah, no, it's much easier to go around it and do something like this, particularly on what they are hoping will be a low turnout election for the primary on August 13th. And then, as you said, if people aren't informed about what these measures will do, they're going to pass them.
Yeah.
And vote yes.
And it's also very interesting, like in the state of Wisconsin, when we can't get it done in the legislature, we put it in the amendment.
We change the Constitution.
If on the national level, if they can't get it done, they make the Supreme Court redesign freedom, democracy, and the overall understanding of our country. Huh. Amazing. Wonderful to watch sore losers lose.
Yeah, it's these are interesting times we're in, my friends. Yeah. Very, very interesting times. On a lighter note, before we skedaddle out of here, today is 44 years since the movie Airplane was released.
And I ask you, why are you hurting my feelings right now?
Why am I hurting your feelings?
It's 44. I'm older than Airplane, too. This just seems like a long time ago, but I love that movie so much.
Leslie Nielsen, Peter Graves.
Robert Stack. Two of the members, I can't remember their names, two of the people from Love Boat were on there, both the young girl and the entertainment director she was in. Julie Haggerty,
that's right.
I mean, that cast is... Lloyd Bridges
is in it.
I picked a terrible week to quit taking methamphetamines. Who says that?
I picked a terrible week to quit sniffing glue.
Yeah.
There's so many politically incorrect things now when you look back at that film.
Yeah.
You just have to, it's a good thing they made it 44 years ago because it never would pass now.
I disagree with those statements. But
really?
But that's for a longer conversation. But it's that movie. And Black Dynamite, The Naked Gun, those movies are amazing because they take themselves so seriously, but it is nothing but fall down hilarious comedy for 90 minutes.
And that's what makes it so funny.
Absolutely.
Is they take it so seriously.
Yes.
So take a trip down memory lane, pull out Airplane, and celebrate the 44th anniversary of that classic movie's release.
Surely you can't be serious, Jane.
Don't call me Shirley.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, absolutely nothing works. Thank you most of all to you for listening and calling and texting. It absolutely means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay close. News is next. Todd Alba from noon to 2, then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 p.m. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a good day.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Crude and Dom.
The Devil's Advocates will be taking a couple of days off to celebrate the nation's birthday, but will return on Friday with coverage of President Joe Biden's appearance in Madison.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
it. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker, I'll tell you that.
That's wow. That's unbelievable. Impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.